Easter doesn't begin with a cross and a crown of thorns. It begins with the triumphal entry and the waving of palm branches. In fact, hundreds of years before this ultimate sacrifice, God spoke through prophets like Zechariah and laid out the exact events that would take place. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And Jesus did exactly that. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two of them ahead with these instructions. Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. The gathering crowds knew this man was so important, they spread their own garments on the old dirty road for him, and shouted with joy, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel! And when this great man of God finally entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? And the crowds answered their own question. This is Jesus.
Amen. This is Jesus. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Zechariah 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9, verse 9. The prophet declared these words. He said, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Less than 500 years later, this prophetic word spoken by Zechariah came to pass on a day that we refer to as Palm Sunday. Only a few days before the cross, 1 week before his glorious resurrection, Jesus made his way into Jerusalem. Jesus had come to save the lost, as it says in Luke 19:10. Now was the time. This was the place to secure that salvation. Palm Sunday marked the start of something that's often referred to as Passion Week. It's that week where Jesus goes to the cross. It's that final week, really the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. Really the beginning of the beginning for all of us, for mankind, as Jesus rode in to Jerusalem. Palm Sunday. Today we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday. We're going to remember that original Palm Sunday. And I feel that there are some important realities. There's some important truth that we need to uncover and that we need to discover from God's Word related to Palm Sunday. This wasn't just kind of the opening act to the big band, the big show. My sons just went to a concert a couple weeks ago. And the opening act for their band, one of their favorite bands, couldn't show up, and so they just brought some local band in last minute, and they were like, yeah, the opening act wasn't that big of a deal, and everybody goes anyway just for, you know, the headliner, right? So Palm Sunday's not just the opening act. There are some significant truths and reality that we need to grab hold of as believers. And so we return to Zechariah's prophetic word, where he says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I want us to focus on a phrase in Zechariah's words there. See, your king comes to you. See, your king comes to you. And on Palm Sunday, Jesus fulfilled this prophetic word. And we discover this first reality that I want to make sure we grab hold of. I feel the Holy Spirit wants us to live in this reality today, right here and right now, and every single day as we wake up and walk through this life for His glory, enjoying Him. Reality number one, our King has come. Church, do you understand? Our King has come. This prophetic word has been fulfilled. Our King has come. When the world was literally going to hell, Jesus didn't hide Himself away in heaven. Not easy that would have been. How many of you do that? When your world's going to hell, you just want to curl up in bed, eat some ice cream, and watch some kind of movie. For a woman, it's a chick flick or something. You just want to hide away, right? I mean, that's what you want to do when the world's going to hell, but that's not what Jesus did. Jesus, when the world was going to hell, didn't hide Himself away in heaven. Rather, He stepped down from heaven. And He came to the earth that He actually created, and to the people who turned their backs on Him. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't hide away in heaven. Instead, He put on flesh. The divine one put on flesh. He became a man. He didn't hide away. He put on the flesh, knowing that it would be torn, knowing that it would be broken. Why? So that we would not have to live broken any longer. Palm Sunday is not the opening act. Our King has come, church. Our King has come. He became poor that we might receive heavenly riches. And He got on a donkey. He rode into Jerusalem where He experienced death so that we might have eternal life. It's a big deal. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Palm Sunday ushered in the reality that death no longer has victory over us, and it no longer needs to sting us. Even as we were praying earlier for our brothers and sisters in Egypt, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? Death has nothing on us any longer because our King has come. Jesus has come. And He's come for you. And He's come for me. I don't know about you, but there are days I get to the end of the day and I'm thinking, I don't know why in the world Jesus would ever come for me. But He did. Our King has come for us. It's the love of God. It's a passion week. It's the passionate love of our Savior for us. Jesus didn't come simply to make a political statement. A lot of people want to come into town. They want your attention to make a political statement, don't they? To try to just get you to believe the way that they want you to believe. He didn't come also. He didn't step down from heaven just for a holiday. He didn't come just for a short little visit, just to kind of say hi and check in on His creation. No, He didn't come for that. Jesus didn't come to sign autographs. He didn't come to kiss babies, although He probably kissed some babies. But that's not why He came. Instead, when our King came, we discovered the second reality of Palm Sunday. Our King has come and He has brought salvation. He's brought salvation. See, your King comes to you, Zechariah 9:9, righteous and having salvation. I want to ask my brothers and sisters in this room right now, how many of you need salvation? I'm hoping every hand goes up, and maybe by the end of this morning, your hand will be up high too. We all need salvation. The Heavenly Father understood that, and so He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us, because we need some serious saving. And so when our King came, He didn't come just to shoot the breeze with creation. He came to save us, to rescue us, to redeem us. So Jesus has brought salvation. Salvation from what, you might say? Let's look at it. He came to bring us salvation from the eternal punishment that comes from sin. He came to save us from that. From eternal punishment. And to flip it all around, kind of like we did with the room, right? Boom, flip it around, but it's 180 degrees, not just 90 like we went, right? He came to flip it all around and to save us from eternal punishment into eternal life. Salvation from what? Salvation from condemnation and shame. And you know what? There are days I got to go back and receive salvation, saving again and again and again from condemnation. He saved me. He set me free. He's made me new. I'm saved from condemnation. Salvation from darkness and despair and fear. Salvation from what? From being separated from our Heavenly Father. And because that's the ultimate reality of salvation. You know, before Christ, we were separated from our Creator, from our Heavenly Father, who fearfully and wonderfully made us, who knit us together in our mother's womb. We were separated because of sin from Him. No chance of doing life with Him now. Definitely not for eternity. But our King came and He brought salvation to save us from separation and to bring us back into fellowship, relationship with our Creator, our Heavenly Father. He came and He brought us salvation. It says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." You know what was lost? We were. But He sought us out. He found us. And He saved us. He saved us. It says in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. And we got to get this. The world needs to get this. The world fights this reality. But here's the reality. It's not bad news. This is good news right here. Okay, this is good news. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus. But here's the good news about that. You think, well, it's so narrow. Yeah, but it's so good. It's so complete. It's happened because our King has come and He has brought us salvation. It's here and now it's ours. We don't have to look around for it. We know exactly where to find it. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm a big U2 fan, the band U2. And one of their songs is, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." And every time I hear that, I think it's the cry of creation. Because they just fight looking at the one place. They just can't believe it, or they just don't want it to be that easy. I don't know what it is, but they keep searching and searching, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. The good news of Palm Sunday, the good news of Easter, the good news of life for us now is that we know exactly where to find salvation. Amen. Jesus, our King, has come righteous and having salvation. We know where it is. And so we go to the world and we share with them, "I know what you're looking for. I know where you find it. It's already here. It's simple. It's real. Come on. Jesus. Jesus." But how do we receive this salvation? Our King's come. He's brought salvation. But how do we get it? How do we receive the salvation that's ours in Christ? Well, first of all, we understand this from Scripture. We're saved by faith. Not by works. Not by being in the right place at the right time. or knowing the right people, you know, or hanging out in the right. No. We're saved by faith. And how does this whole thing of faith work and being saved by faith? Well, the first thing is we have to hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And so how do we become saved? How does this salvation happen in our lives? We hear the good news of Jesus. Our King has come. He's righteous and he has salvation. We hear the gospel, the good news of Christ. We hear it with our ears. And then we don't just blow it off and think, well, that's just another way and that may be for them, but not for me. No, we hear it and we believe it. I mean, it hits us and we go, this is what I've been looking for. This is reality. This is salvation. It really is Jesus. And so we hear the good news of Christ and we believe it to the point of saying yes to that good news. Well, that means that there needs to be some repentance that happens. And what is it? That's just changing our mind. That's that process of changing our mind from, yeah, I can save myself and there's other ways to be saved to, oh my, it's all about Jesus. We begin to think God's way. We begin to change our thinking about reality. Our whole perspective on reality begins to shift, kind of again, like this room, right? We think God's way now. We come out of agreement with the old way of thinking. And we believe. We believe Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That leads us to call on His name and say, you are Jesus. You are Lord. You are the Son of God. You are my Savior. And so we hear it. We believe it. We call upon Him and then we just receive it. We just receive it. We receive it. It's a free gift of salvation. It's been paid in full by Jesus. Get to the end of Passion Week, you see that. Secured for us on the cross. And powerfully given to us through His resurrection. We hear it, we believe it, then we freely receive it. Let me tell you a little story. I found this interesting. Helps us really grasp just how free and beautiful salvation is for us. During the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in the country of Cuba. One day, Colonel Theodore Roosevelt came to her, and he wanted to buy some food for his sick and wounded Rough Riders. Those were the soldiers that he was leading. But she refused to sell him any. Roosevelt was perplexed. His men needed help, and he was prepared to pay out of his own funds. When he asked someone why he couldn't buy the supplies, he was told this. He said, Colonel, you just need to ask for it. Just ask for it. A smile broke over Roosevelt's face. Now he understood the provisions were not for sale. All he had to do was simply ask, and they would be given freely. And that's how it is with salvation. We simply ask, and it's given to us freely. It's beautiful. So how do we receive the free gift of salvation? We hear, we believe, we ask, and we receive freely. And so, our King has come, church. I want to yell it and scream it right now out these doors into our community right now. Gilbert, East Valley, Chandler, Tempe, Mesa, Apache Junction, Phoenix, Ahwatukee, our King has come. Amen. And He has brought salvation for you. Amen. I was having dinner last night with Wayne and Tanya and Velvet. We were having dinner and we were chatting. And I got to this place where I'm saying, you know what, Wayne? I'm telling you, the world really does want to know. I know that the enemy is robbing them from that and trying to do everything he can to keep them from meeting Jesus, their Savior. But they are really literally dying for truth. They're dying for God's love. They're dying for the real Jesus, the real God who can really change them and who really loves them and who will really forgive them. They're dying to hear about Jesus. And I see it more and more and more. As the more I bring Jesus into people's lives, the more doors open for me in the community where they're asking me and they're begging me to come and be part of different committees and meetings and organizations and this and boards or whatever it might be. The more I bring Jesus, the King, the one who has salvation, we got to tell them. So that's why I'm saying I would love to scream it right out and everybody to hear. There was a concert. Dierks Bentley was in town 2 nights ago. I mean, he was rocking. We had the door open here and it was like we were in the front row of the concert until midnight. It was crazy. It was that loud. I am looking forward to the day when that's going to be the case where we are able to do something like that right out here. And Jesus is being just glorified and lifted up and declared over this community. It's coming. In fact, Good Friday. In the park, we do it every single year where we go into the community with other churches and we lift up the name of Jesus and we bring the cross and we bring the message of salvation in Christ alone. I want to encourage everyone in here, get there, be there at that gathering. I'm telling you what, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 fleeing. You want salvation to come to your community? You want to see your culture and your world change? Show up for events like this, where the name of Jesus is publicly declared. Be part of big kingdom activities like that. Don't stay home eating ice cream, watching your chick flick. Let's get out there and let's bring the name of Jesus to our community. Our King has come. He's brought salvation, the free gift of salvation. But the way that He came is so important. Side note, I don't have a screen back there that tells me what time it is, so may the Lord bless you and may He give you patience. Because I'm having fun preaching in this new room. I thought it was going to be hard, this wide room area. This is awesome. I can see everybody. There's not people in the shadows in the back. This is beautiful. I love it. So I'm ready to go, man. So our King has come. He has brought salvation, but the way that He came is so important. That's another reality about Palm Sunday that we got to grab a hold of. The way that Jesus came is not something to just casually forget about and jump over. It says again in Zechariah 9:9, "See, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I love the second verse of this wonderful song, "Here I Am to Worship." It says, "King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake you became poor." Humbly Jesus came. Humbly Jesus stepped down from heaven. Humbly our King came. Another wonderful song is called "Humble King." It says this of Jesus in the lyrics. It says, "You are the God of the broken." How many of you have been broken? "You're the friend of the weak." I've been there too. It says that you wash the feet of the weary. My hand's up again. "You embrace the ones in need." And I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me, because you are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. This reality hit me this week, and He gave me this way of expressing it. And I believe it's going to impact some of you. It impacted me when I heard the Lord saying this. Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, Jesus didn't come to whip us into shape. Rather, He came as the humble and gentle King who Himself would be whipped. Now the world has a different perspective about Jesus. And even much of the church has a different perspective about Jesus, thinking it's all about God whipping us into shape. But Jesus didn't come to whip us into shape. He came for himself to be whipped for us, to bring freedom for us. The humble king. The humble king. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." By the wounds of the humble King Jesus, we receive eternal healing in, through, and from him, and him alone. We saw the video earlier, but I want us to go back and retrace how Jesus made his triumphal entry. Let's look at this. It's found in the Gospel of Luke 19. It says, after Jesus had said this, he had just got done giving the parable of the minas or the talents, okay? And so after Jesus just got done sharing and teaching and preaching to others about the kingdom of God, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. He approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, and then he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there." Now remember, a colt is also called the foal of a donkey. That's what a colt is. It's a young donkey. "You'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying it?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And so Jesus humbly entered on a donkey. Not on a stallion, not riding on a chariot. He didn't fly in, on the private jet. He came in on a lowly donkey, a beast of burden. I think of it this way. Jesus rode into town in the pickup bed of a Ford F-150. That's what he did. I want to take a moment. I want us to get personal here with this whole thing of Jesus riding in on a donkey. And I want us to really focus on the owner of the donkey and put ourselves in the place or in the shoes of that person who owned that donkey. First thing we notice is that they willingly, apparently with no strings attached, they gave up the donkey when they were told that the Lord needs it. Okay, here you go. I look at that and I think to myself, man, am I willing to freely, immediately, no strings attached, give up what I have for the Lord? The Lord needs it. Okay. That's all I need to hear. The Lord needs it. Here you go. I know I had other plans for that Ford F-150. I know I had other plans for my day, for my time, for my resources. Other things pulling at me. Other opportunities. The Lord needs it. Okay. The Lord needs me. Okay. I don't know how many donkeys this man had. He might have had 100. Might have had one. It doesn't really matter. It was a donkey. Again, it was like a Ford F-150. I looked it up this week. You don't want to know what the base price of a new Ford F-150 is? It's over $27,000. The Lord needs it. Okay. Okay. Here you go. When I look at Scripture, I tend to get very personal with it. And I want to encourage you to do the same. So I'm looking at this, processing it this week, going, okay, what's valuable to me? So I want to turn it back to you because I've already processed it now. And I want to say, so what's valuable to you? What's valuable to you? What has the Lord given you? Everything, including the breath in your lungs right now. We sang about that, didn't we? He's given you everything. What talents, what resources, time and health has He given you? What has God entrusted to you? What have you been given to steward for His glory and for His purposes? After all, that's why anything we have, we have. It's for His glory and for His purposes. We get to use it. We get to enjoy it for a season, whatever that season may be. But then the Lord shows up and says, I need it right now. It's time to take that talent, that gift, that resource that's been entrusted to you, and it's time to use it right here, right now, today, in this moment, for my purposes, for my plans. It's an issue of stewardship. It's about managing well what God has given us, using it the way He wants us to use it. And I've been there, and I'm sure you all have been there, where you get to that place where you start feeling bad about how you've stewarded what God has given you. You feel like you've been wasting what He's given you, or worse, squandering the good gifts that He's entrusted to you. And I appreciate Max Lucado being pretty open about this. And he has this to say. He says, sometimes I get the impression that God wants me to give Him something. Sometimes I don't give it because I don't know for sure. And then I feel bad because I've missed my chance. Other times I know He wants something, but I don't give it because I'm too selfish. And other times, too few times, I hear Him and I obey Him and feel honored that a gift of mine would be used to carry Jesus to another place. And still other times, I wonder if my little deeds today will make a difference in the long haul. I've walked through every one of those myself. I have. Maybe you have those questions too. This is one thing we know, though. We all have a donkey. There we go. All of us have. That's a cute one. That's one of the cuter ones I found. Thought I'd try to help you out with a cute donkey there. All of us have. It makes you smile. Doesn't that donkey just make you smile? Can you imagine that? A donkey can make you smile. All of us have a donkey, though. We do. You and I each have something in our lives which, if given back to God, could, like the donkey that Jesus rode in on into Jerusalem, that thing that we give back to God, that we submit to Him, that we use for His purposes, it could move Jesus and His story further down the road, releasing His grace, releasing salvation in and through our lives, into our culture and into our community as we give freely for His glory, for His plans and purposes, what He has freely and generously given to each one of us. So our King has come. He's brought salvation. What should be our response? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. We're back to Zechariah 9:9. What's our response to this amazing reality that our King has come and that He has brought salvation? Church, the reality is He's worthy of our worship. That is the fourth reality that I want to make sure that we grasp about Palm Sunday. He's worthy of our worship. On Palm Sunday, as Jesus humbly entered Jerusalem, it says in Matthew 21:9, the crowds that went ahead of Him and those that followed, they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. They worshiped Him as He rode in, as He showed up. And church, Jesus is still and forever worthy of our worship. For who He is, for what He's done. And here's the other reason. He is forever worthy of our worship because He is coming back. Jesus is coming back. I want to conclude this morning by talking about that, by making sure that we really dive into this reality. Jesus is coming back. Of all the prophecies in the Bible, there is still one prophecy yet to be fulfilled. It's a prophecy that Jesus Himself declared. It's found in Matthew 24, verse 44, where he says, "So you also must be ready." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Are you a disciple of Christ? Yes. So you, church, you follower of Jesus, must also be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. This time he won't be riding in on a donkey. He did that. Been there, done that. It had its purpose. It was powerful. It was sovereign. But the next time when he comes back, this is what the Apostle John writes is going to happen. And we go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11. Church, he's coming back. Our King has come, and he's coming again. And here's how it's going down. It says, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse," not a donkey this time, "was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True." That's a capital F and a capital T. It's talking about Jesus, whose rider is Jesus, who is faithful and true. "With justice he judges and makes war." Now check this out. You ready to see Jesus? It says his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Church, Jesus is coming back. Jesus himself has prophesied this. It's happening. It's going to be the most epic scene of history. Coming to a world near you. It's going to feature Jesus splitting open the heavens and returning on a majestic white horse with fire in his eyes and crowns of glory on his head. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our King has come and he is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? Are you ready? Let's stand up and we can just declare and give an example and a testimony that we're excited, that we're ready. Let's glorify him. Let's sing Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest. I want to ask the prayer ministers to come forward. We talked about it earlier, that Jesus came to be broken so that we no longer have to be broken. If you have something in your lives that's broken, bring it to Jesus and trust Him with it. Bring it again to Jesus and trust Him with it. A loved one who's broken, bring them to Jesus and trust Him with them again and again. God is good. Our King has come, righteous and having salvation. If you're here this morning, I truly believe it is no accident that you're here. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've only been here a couple times. Maybe you're even wondering why you're here. I know this. God loves you, and He's drawing you to Him. Jesus came for you. For you. The free gift of salvation, of new life, is offered to you. We're going to close right now. And if you're ready to walk in to new life, if you're ready to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our King, today is your day. Now is your time. All things made new. Eternity changing because of Jesus. I want to ask you as we close and the congregation goes into the lobby and into the lawn to fellowship, that you would come forward and share with one of these prayer ministers, "I'm ready for Jesus. I'm ready for salvation." They'll pray with you. They'll rejoice with you. They'll give you resources. Today's your day. That's why you're here. Because God loves you. He sees you and He knows you. Church, go out and be the church. Continue to shine the light of Christ into this broken world. You have what they're looking for. You have what they're looking for. Ride into your community. Walk into your community. Walk into your office, into your school. Bring in the righteousness of Christ, the good news of salvation in Him. Be part of the supernatural, the eternal, the kingdom of God. Enjoy it. Enjoy this week, remembering that our King has come, what He's done for you, and who you are now because of Him. God bless. I'll see you on Good Friday in the park, Freestone. Love y'all.